Welcome home. We are WNST, Towson, Baltimore. We're AM 1570. Please set a spot for us out on your dial. If you're traveling around on the radio, we're going to have some baseball around here this week, but a lot of football, a lot of residue from a wild win over the Cincinnati Bengals. And of course, the Washington, I almost said the R word, the Commanders. I used to call them the Snyders. I remember when that used to mean something, Baltimore and Washington, and back in the days of the Burgundy and Gun, the George Preston Marshall and all that good stuff. We're going to have scratch-offs in the Maryland Lottery to give away. It's my birthday this week. It's Luke's birthday last week. So happy birthday to Luke. He's a year older. I'm a year wiser and hopefully younger. Friday will be at Pizza John's in Essex. Luke will have the delicious, don't even eat on Thursday, man. I'm going to have crinkle cut fries with gravy. We're going to do pizza 28 different ways, including Dundalk Venezuelan right there in Essex, which is the Hawaiian with the pepperoni on it because that's crunchy and delicious. I'm going to give everybody a try. So if you love pineapple pizza, come on out to Pizza John's. And if you hate it, I won't make you eat it. You can get whatever you want. Get a meatball sub if you want. You're delicious imported ham. It's imported. Got to find out where it's imported from. I'm going to have Brett on, Michelle, our friends at the Pizza John's, celebrating my birthday. They're also having a big anniversary Pizza John's, too, that I'm going to be telling you about when we're over there. Luke, I know your family hails from the greater Essex area, so it'll be a little bit of a homecoming for you. And an interesting homecoming game ahead with this thing we play every 8 years here and every 4 years together. But this Bengals thing, we get together with them pretty often. And with the Derrick Henry train running and their defense, evaluating the Ravens offense in the aftermath of all of this offense, all of this running, and the Bengals secondary being decimated, it is a nice feeling that whatever the track meet they just left in Cincinnati, I'm thinking there might be a little bit of a track meet coming here this week too.
Yeah, no question about it. And you just asked me about, you know, looking at the Bengals with the Ravens and what that rivalry is and how weird this game was compared to what you typically see from an AFC North showdown. For all the talk of the Bengals and what they've accomplished over the last few years and times where they've beaten the Ravens, you know how many times they've beaten Lamar Jackson? Once.
Well, I remember Lamar breaking ankles there years ago. I was in the press box. Everybody's laughing in Cincinnati. Like, it was literally the first time I'd ever heard utter noise. I'll never forget it. When he made that play, it was a sound in a press box. And you could tell Chad and Greg and the Whistler, everybody. I've been in a lot of press boxes. I know how not to cheer in the press box, believe it or not. I heard noises I'd never heard from Lamar in Cincinnati. So that's unforgettable that day. That's his play, right? I mean, there's a lot of them, including the one on Sunday, but the original play in Cincinnati, something we've never seen before since.
Yeah, the spin. I mean, Kevin Harlan, who was calling the game in Cincinnati on Sunday, famously said he is Houdini. Well, we saw the latest Houdini play when Lamar drops the snap, is trying to pick up the ball. Sam Hubbard's got him dead to rights. Stiff arm Sam Hubbard, who probably has, I don't know, 50 pounds on Lamar or at least 40 pounds on Lamar. Stiff arms him, gets away, throws the ball up, and Isaiah Likely catches a touchdown. I mean, it was just, it was another one of those plays that I'm sure the press box, people are laughing and just gasping at how unbelievable it was, because I think everyone was doing that at home. I mean, it was just, it's incredible. And like I said, for all of the talk about the Ravens-Bengals rivalry and, you know, it's stepping up here in recent years, look, there have been some good games. So, I mean, Sunday included, of course, but Bengals have beaten the Ravens one time with Lamar Jackson healthy and starting the football game and finishing the football game. So how frustrating does it have to be on their side when you see a play like that, that we just mentioned, and just the fact that their offense played the way that it did? I mean, they completely gashed the Ravens, completely shredded the Ravens defense, but too much number eight, too much, let's face it, a collective, you know, ensemble group of receivers and tight ends that, you know, they had four different guys with 50 receiving yards. That's not even counting Isaiah Likely with two touchdown catches. I mean, they really spread the ball around, and they showed that on a day when the Bengals were determined to not let Derrick Henry beat them in terms of stacking the box and doing what they did at the line of scrimmage, until Derrick Henry finally busts loose on the next to last play of the game, the Ravens had no problem. They moved the ball and they needed to because they trailed in the second half. So, as I said in a previous segment, you want an offense that can play in different ways. And what we've seen the last couple of weeks, and I'd even throw Sunday in there as well, even though Derrick Henry, didn't have big rushing totals until the very end that caught him close to 100 yards, but they've really done, and Todd Monken's done a really good job marrying the passing game to the run game. When you see they have Charlie Kohler on the field when they're running kind of that 22 personnel, to kind of give a heavier look. Well, in order to not be too predictable, what do you need to do? You need to throw there. In the same way we've talked about it when Justice Hill is on the field, when the Ravens, whether they're in 2 minute or even just, situations where they want to spread it out a little more, you got to hand the ball to Justice Hill sometimes because you don't want to make it too predictable to say, oh, Justice Hill's in the game, they must be passing. So I think they've done a really good job of mixing up tendencies, going against tendencies. And certainly we have in the, after the last couple of weeks, certainly weren't seeing Lamar Jackson throw it 42 times. And that's not the script every week, of course, but was very encouraging to be able to do that when the situation called for it, when the Bengals were able to contain their running game in the first half, and certainly when they were trailing by two scores nearly the entire way in the second half. Again, for me, that bodes well for getting deeper into the season, knowing that, hey, you're going to have injuries. You're going to have teams that have a good game plan for you. You're going to have teams that can stop what you do the best. So when that happens, you can either throw your hands up and keep trying to do it, and then you're just beating your head against the wall, or you can adjust. And I thought the Ravens did a really, really good job of making adjustments on the offensive side on Sunday.
Well, you do the math on this. We're what, 30 some percent of the way through the season, right? At this point, the disappearance of Mark Andrews as a focal point, a go-to guy, a binky in the case of Lamar, which he was earlier in his career. We talk about Tucker and where he is in his career, and Andrews, where Kohler's on the field, Likely's on the field. They play heavy with Ricard and Henry early in games to try to have those first down 7, 8 yard runs and be in second and two and not have to throw the ball. We talk about Odell Beckham coming here last year, and I saw him in his locker doing whatever he was doing this week as well. And by the way, have you entered the locker room for the last time? I guess that'll be Wednesday's conversation. We can talk about the players trying to throw you out of the locker room, you and everybody else. Jameson's rebound, all of you guys. So just bye, see you, no more locker room. But I would say for the offense and for what we expected and what we've come to know in regard to my complaints about how much can they throw, how much do they want to throw, how much can Zay Flowers really expect to get the ball, or Mark Andrews expect to get the ball in an offense where, in a perfect world, they're 21 to 26 for 212 yards because Henry ran for 120, Lamar ran for 58. And I don't know, that would say that's their profile. That's not what it looked like on Sunday. That's not what it looked like any week. Over the mean and over the average of the aggregate of a year, what they would want week by week to look like probably isn't as much passing, even though they'll tell the wide receivers and the tight ends that. You've always maintained they can throw it, they can throw it, they should throw it, they should throw it more. And I always say, I don't want you in second and 10. And then having Ronnie Stanley jump off and we're punting. And because they're so interesting on fourth down, that if they get the fourth and something, they have an opportunity to go for it, keep the punter off the field. They have more plays to extend drives, to keep the ball, quite frankly, and keep their defense off the field, which that's going to be its own segment, what the defense is doing. But offensively, in the heart of hearts, I really expected Andrews to be a bigger part of this thus far and what they're trying to do. It looks like under Monken over this transition period, this thing feels more multiple and they want it to be more multiple. And I feel that way when Kylan Wallace is catching balls and Aguilar's still a part of this. And Bateman now is a part of it. And Flowers should be the biggest part of it. And given, that little. Jet sweeps and the little dinks and dunks and getting his hips moving to try to get him a lane where he can do something special. They have a lot of weapons here. And this is difficult for Monken, and it's difficult with agents wanting the ball, guys wanting the ball, Henry wanting the ball, but not too much and in the right circumstances. And then we don't even talk about the offensive line stinking like maybe we did a couple of weeks ago, and where are the pieces and who's going to play where. But there's a lot of moving parts, and kind of a bad Bengals defense deodorized this, and maybe the Commanders this week too, where you get guys some confidence and you get to do some things that maybe you couldn't do against the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, you obviously want to get better as the year goes on, and you know, we talked about this a lot through the lens of focusing on the offensive line, right? And we talked about early in the season, you wanted to see at least a baseline that looked like, okay, it's not great, it's certainly not top five or top 10, but there are signs that there's something to work with here. And you know, maybe you didn't see as much of that as you wanted to in the first couple of weeks of the season, but there also were good things they did in the first couple of weeks of the season offensively. I mean, it wasn't all bad, but everything you just laid out, I mean, they want to be multiple. As I said, I mean, that I think one of the most overrated talking points in talking about, offensive, it's identity, right? Because again, if you're so rigid, if you're so ironclad in how you want to do things, what happens when the team stops that? Then where do you go? Right? So you want to be able to do different
That's
things.
the run and
Now,
shoot offense, right? You know,
right.
it's completely one-dimensional, and the linemen are created to pass block or to run block in one way that you can't do both.
Right. So you want this push-pull, and that's why you and I, when we were getting into these spirited debates, it wasn't, I wasn't saying, oh, stop running the ball with Derrick Henry and throw the ball. What I was saying was, at some point in time, these defenses are seeing what the Ravens are doing, and Derrick Henry's getting the ball so much that inevitably they are going to start really stacking the box and daring the Ravens to throw. And at that point in time, you need to be able to do it. And they did it on Sunday. Albeit, I agree. This Bengals defense stinks, and it's probably going to cost them their season. I mean, if they're 1-4, it kind of already has, barring an amazing second half run. But you want to be able to do different things. You want to be able to have a counterpunch. This is a push-pull, right? I mean, you run the ball, you run the ball, you run the ball the way that they did against Dallas and the way that they did against Buffalo. Not that they weren't doing anything good in the passing game in those games, but it wasn't high volume, right? So Cincinnati decides, well, we can't let Derrick Henry and Lamar beat us with their legs. So let's stack the box, play guys at the line of scrimmage, do the things that we need to do to try to stop that. And then in turn, what do the Ravens do? Well, we've got to throw it. We've got to throw it over their heads. And, not that they took a ton of deep shots, but they were very successful with that intermediate portion of the field. Think about it, throwing it over the linebackers' heads as they're creeping up closer to the line of scrimmage. So they did that very effectively. Now, if you're Washington or you're Tampa Bay or you're Cleveland, the Ravens' next three opponents, you're looking at that and saying, oh my gosh. We were thinking so much about Derrick Henry, Derrick Henry, Derrick Henry, and of course Lamar, which Lamar is the anchor to everything they do and has been for 6 years now. But now it's a case of, oh, it's not just Zay Flowers who had a big day, but it's also, oh, wait, not Isaiah Likely, not just Mark Andrews. Charlie Kohler can catch passes too. So now you have him, and oh, Tylan Wallace caught a couple passes, and Bateman, which it was a first round pick, but hasn't really. You go down the list and look, it's an ensemble effort, right? You're going to have some guys that aren't going to do a whole lot. And I mean, you mentioned Mark Andrews. I mean, Mark Andrews had his best game of the year. He caught four passes for 55 yards after back-to-back games where he didn't catch any passes.
Well,
But
we talked a lot about Lamar and chemistry with wide receivers and stuff. Never the issue with Andrews. That was always going to be the threat in the way that Mahomes and Kelce are that thing. Look at what
sure.
Mahomes and Kelce have been over the last 2 or 3 years, and look at what Lamar and Mark Andrews were 5, 6 years ago and what they haven't been. That would be a hell of an element to add back into this attack that's primary in getting first downs in big situations, because I don't know that we've seen it enough recently. That's all. It was nice to see it. It was a good look. This
Yeah.
was an awakening game for a game they were getting their ass kicked. They lost, were losing by 10 points twice in the fourth quarter. If the kid could turn the spin of the ball, they would have won the game. If Roquan Smith could have caught that interception, you know, they were all sort. The Bengals didn't sit down on the ball in overtime. I mean, a lot of things happened for this to be deodorized and be 3-2 and top of the division, because they easily could have lost that football game on Sunday, but they didn't. But the awakening parts are, oh, there's life beyond Derrick Henry, and Lamar still has the can get in the phone booth and win a 10-point game from behind, even if it took some good luck. But more than that, the sprinkling of offense and the different players, that says to me the offensive line's working better because he's being able to throw the ball and he's not getting sacked and he's not getting annihilated. And when the run game fails, the pass game succeeds. That's good. This was a great development. They looked like they could do something on Sunday, even if they were losing at the end.
Well, I mean, as I said, you want to be multiple. You want to be able to adjust. You want to be able to counterpunch. I mean, again, that's why I think that idea of a rigid identity on offense is really overrated. Because again, what happens when a team, there's always something you can do defensively to stop, or maybe not stop, but contain the opponent, assuming you have a requisite baseline of talent, which I mean, hey, again, as we said, the Bengals lost two of their top three corners. So maybe the Ravens were smart to be eager to exploit that. Although, again, the Bengals did a pretty good job of, I mean, Derrick Henry was a non-factor in that game until the last, in terms of what he produced, his presence not being a non-factor. But even in the second half, they were in so much 2 minute. I mean, Justice Hill outsnapped Derrick Henry because if you're in 2 minute, you want Justice Hill out on the field rather than Derrick Henry. So, you want to be able to do different things, and that's how you evolve. That's how you grow as an offense. And yeah, you mentioned you used the Travis Kelce comparison. Go look at Travis Kelce in the regular season last year. He didn't put up the monster Travis Kelce numbers of the past, and part of that is he's pretty long in the tooth at this point. He's old, but we saw what he did in January. So, even this year with the Chiefs, and we'll see how the coming weeks go with Rashee Rice sidelined at least indefinitely, if not for the entire season. But yeah, the first couple of weeks, Kelce did nothing in their offense, in the same way we were talking about Mark Andrews, and then suddenly he emerges when they need him. So, I think with Andrews, there were some questions about how healthy what he's been coming out of the gate, not just coming back from the ankle last year, but remember, he was involved in that car accident in mid-August, which thankfully he avoided any serious catastrophic kind of injuries, but he was banged up from that. And from what I understand, was kind of banged up anyway at that point in training
By the
camp.
way, I saw
So,
Wiggins' car over the weekend. It's been strange. I mean, I see people
yeah.
driving like maniacs. Please slow the hell down if you're listening to
Yeah.
me. Please stop.
Yeah.
But that being said, I mean, the Ravens have been in some, I mean, and then the tragedy with the offensive line. They've had some stuff-ish going on
Sure.
around there.
Sure. No question. No question. And specifically, I mean, you mentioned with Joe D'Alessandris with their offensive line. So
And we're not
it's
talking
just,
about that as much, right?
we're not. And look, I mean, that's a good thing, right? And they're not the best in the league. Let's be clear about that. And Lamar is very much an equalizer, right? In terms
Racer.
of make, I mean, he makes your pass protection look better. He certainly makes your running game look better because the defense has to account for him. I mean, you think about the conventional way that you think of a running game, it's typically 11 defenders on 10 offensive players because you've never thought of the quarterback as being, part of that. Now, that's changing, and it's not just Lamar, it's others, including the kid in from Washington that's going to be coming to town on Sunday. I mean, Jaden Daniels, this kid's special. And I'll say this with, I wasn't alone in this opinion, but he was my favorite quarterback out of this draft class. I mean, anyone who watched him at LSU last year, you thought, man, this kid's got a chance to be, this kid's got a chance to be the real deal. And he looks like the real deal even as a rookie. I mean, that's been impressive. So the Ravens need to be ready to play. But the point that I was making is, I mean, you have a ground game where everyone has to be accounted for. Even if guys like me were, somewhat dismissive about the need for someone like Derrick Henry because their running game had been as great as it's been the last few years, and it has been, even with street free agents coming in, Latavius Murray and Devontae Freeman ran the ball, and the Ravens had a top five running game even that year when they lost their top three running backs before the season even started. So, there was always that factor, but then you add Derrick Henry into the mix. You still have Lamar Jackson. You have Justice Hill, who is a better player than he was 2 or 3 years ago. And you've got something that is multifaceted and it's dynamic. And then on the flip side, you marry play action and boot action and all the different things that the Ravens like to do. They're running more from under center as a result of Derrick Henry. And I think that even lends itself to some play action under center for Lamar that I think can work really well and kind of adds a new wrinkle for him as someone who lined up in shotgun 97% of the time through the first 4 or 5 years of his career. There are a lot of layers to this. And I'm not saying it's perfect. It's not a finished product. Certainly, I'm not expecting what they did Sunday to become the norm. And I've never suggested I want to see that. My point was at some point, some defense was going to do what the Bengals were able to do on Sunday. And it was beautiful to see the Ravens be able to adjust the way that they did and make them pay through the air and make a banged up secondary look like a banged up bad secondary. And I mean, they did it, and they did it with a multitude of guys. And I mean, that was good to see. Now, you're only as good as your next week's challenge. And, certainly Washington's not known for having a particularly good defense. So you'd like to think the Ravens are going to be able to move the ball however they want to on Sunday, but they'll need to because we'll get to the defense and we'll get to what's going on that side of the ball. But in the meantime, this has been, this offense, it's choppy the first couple weeks. We know that. But I mean, even those first couple of weeks, it's not like their offense was terrible. It's not like they were held to 10 points or anything like that. So, it's trending in the right direction. I guess that's the best way I can put it. But I mean, all of that being said, Lamar Jackson, I mean, late fumble aside, and this was another example of Lamar, his urgency, his leadership, where he is at this point in his career. It was observed by more than a few people that Lamar was ticked in the post game. He wasn't happy. He was really mad about what had happened with the fumble. And we talked about this a little bit after the Dallas game, where Lamar was not very happy because of how they played in the fourth quarter and what that meant. I kind of dig that. I kind of like that. I like not just saying, "Oh, hey, we're really happy because we won." You could tell he was not happy about that. And I think there's a way to channel that to make him even better, make this team even better. And as we've said, and look, we're singing their praises on the offensive side of the ball. We'll get to the defense and all the problems there. But we also know it's early October. We've seen this team get on a roll at this point in the year, and we've seen this team look like the best team in football in the regular season multiple times in recent years. But we know ultimately this is all about January. And that's why, again, what they were able to do, down 10 points in the fourth quarter, even, and to be able to throw the ball when Cincinnati knew they needed to throw the ball and they were still able to do it. I like seeing that from a big picture standpoint. Not that you want to be in that position, but knowing that it can happen. At some point, it will happen, most likely. And you want to be in a position where, if that's the challenge, if that's the adversity that you're facing on that particular Sunday, you want to be able to do it. And in that way, Lamar Jackson in this offense absolutely rose to the occasion and ended up hanging 41 points on a bad Bengals defense, which is what you want to do at the end of the day. Do what you're supposed to do. And they adjusted in the way that the Bengals forced them to adjust.
He is Baltimore Luke. He's Luke Jones. You can follow him anywhere out on social media, our friends at Jiffy Lube, as well as Royal Farms. Real fresh, real fast, powering him up. We did a whole thing on the kicking game. We've done things on John Harbaugh. We're doing some offense now. We'll get to some defense in a week where we get some baseball too. I'm going to have to write Mr. Rubenstein a second letter this week and tell him we're not Redskins fans or Commanders, Snyder. That's not the team we root for in Maryland. So, nonetheless, offense. Just two thoughts, and then you can run with this however you want. I like King Henry in the offense. And you can brag on your Lamar braggings and the things that you thought. I always thought that getting off the bus and being able to run the ball or feeling like we can run the ball or making them feel like we can run the ball beyond Lamar into the phone booth and Lamar, sleight of hand and like all of that with. No offense to Gus Edwards or even J.K. Dobbins when he was right, not galloping and perfect, and he was never fully healthy here. And God bless him out in San Diego, as I would say, which I know is not San Diego anymore. The notion that they're going to be able to run the ball and that they can. And I was way more worried about the offensive line a couple of weeks ago. Now that I've seen it enacted, Eric, we haven't talked about Eric DaCosta in a month because we don't have personnel problems, personnel weaknesses perceived to be anywhere other than maybe Marcus Williams' contract, but that's another story. The up-tempo part of what they did when they were forced to go out there and run 2 minute and gas the other defense and maybe put a base package on the field that you want to go with and run down the field and run up to the line of scrimmage. That sucks when Lamar's winded, right? And I don't know, Lamar doesn't get winded much. He's a hell of an athlete, man. I mean, that's one thing about him. He can take a, pop in the ear hole, get back in the huddle and get back out and snap the ball. There have been issues of communication at the line of scrimmage. There has been this perception, and again, I'm not a real reporter anymore, Luke, so you'll have to, when they throw you out of the locker room this week, you'll have to get to the bottom of the Lamar situation. But Lamar running offense, Lamar wanting to run plays, Lamar wanting to scramble in and out of plays at the line of scrimmage and identify things as the QB captain out in the field. But there's something about that hurry up that I liked, and Lamar takes good care of the ball. All that being said, the ball coming off his chest and fumbles and whatever, fumbles aside, and if that's your concern that if we speed it up, we're going to make a mistake. We did a whole thing on Harbaugh. When the world speeds up on Harbaugh, Harbaugh makes mistakes like calling timeout and doing things that he shouldn't be doing. But in the case of Lamar, asking him to do a lot. Read defenses, get up to the line of scrimmage, carry the ball, throw the ball, run like hell and still throw. Fumble the ball, jump on it, not jump on it, run out of the pocket, throw a touchdown pass. All that Houdini nonsense. There is something about hurry up in this offense that on the road, especially shutting the crowd down a little bit and like we're going to stick the ball up your ass and it might be Derek and it might be a pass to Pat Ricard. You know what I mean? But we're going to do things here to put to not allow you to substitute and to really full court press Lamar when he's not winded, when the situation's right. That sort of turned me on a little bit about the offense, Luke. I did.
Yeah, I mean, and they've done it before. I mean, it's something that they've had in their toolbox for, I mean, they did it last year at times very effectively. I think there's always a challenge to running 2 minute because of what it can mean when it's not successful, and then suddenly you're three and out, and your defense didn't even get a chance to grab some water on the sideline. So you can't do it all game long. But I definitely think there are times where it makes sense. And obviously, they were in a ton of 2 minute out of necessity on Sunday. So can you mix that in a little bit here and there? Sure. I mean, I'm not opposed to that. And that's something I, at various times, even going back to kind of the end of the Greg Roman era, it's something I would have liked to have seen them do better. Because I think Lamar does better in that environment than people give him credit for. I think if you go back, I mean, what Sunday's game reminded me a lot of was what they did against the Colts 3 years ago on Monday Night Football. They were down big in that game and they went to 2 minute. The Colts secondary was banged up, kind of like the Bengals. So, but look, injuries are part of this. And the Ravens have had their times where they've been banged up on defense. And you see, that's kind of what was so concerning about that. We'll get to that in another segment. But I like the idea of speeding things up there. Probably not going to see a ton of Derrick Henry in that kind of circumstance. I think you're going to want Justice Hill on the field because he's better in pass protection, is a little more versatile in terms of what a running back's going to do when you're kind of in a hurry-up situation. But yeah, I like that. And again, it's all about being multiple. It's all about being able to win in different ways. It's all about being able to adjust when the opposition does something to take away what you do absolutely best. I mean, there's no disputing how well they had run the football the last couple of weeks. And that's why I said at some point in time, some team's going to say, we're not letting you do that. We're going to force you to throw or force you to spread things out or force you to go into 2 minute, however you want to try to adjust. And they were able to do that. So yeah, I like Lamar in that setting because I think, as I've said for a long time, he does read defenses better than and I'm not saying you specifically, just, when people have questioned that part of him, I think he sees the field better than people give him credit for. His Superman play to Isaiah Likely kind of showed that, he's running for his life and dropping the ball and stiff arming Sam Hubbard. And then, hey, throws the ball to Isaiah Likely, who adjusts and succeeds in a scramble drill opportunity. So,
Go back
I
to him
mean,
chucking it to
again,
Hollywood
that's
Brown,
he's so
going
good.
deep. Yeah,
out
you
of
know?
structure, but when they aren't, I mean, they've been able to do that. So, look, again, you're not going to do that for 60 minutes. That's not going to be how you do things an entire game. And yes, your preference is to be up 10, not down 10 in the fourth quarter, but the other team tries too. And when you find yourself in that position, even if it's only once or twice a year or once every other year or whatever, because they haven't been in that spot very often because of how good they are overall, it's really encouraging to be able to see them do what they were able to do. And again, if that happens at some point next month or in January or next year or whenever it happens again, you have another example to draw from and say, hey, yeah, we did that. You know, like I said, they did it against the Colts, but that had been going on 3 years. You know, so this was their biggest comeback win since then. Again, hats off to Lamar Jackson, hats off to Todd Monken, hats off to this offensive line and their entire cast of characters that at various times picked up and did heavy lifting for a group that needed to do plenty of lifting because of just how bad their defense was over the course of Sunday's game.
He's Luke Jones. He is Baltimore Luke. You can find him anywhere out in the internet. He's not even in delay when that happens out there. He's out on social media, all powered up by our friends at Royal Farms, as well as our friends at Jiffy Lube MultiCare, keeping us in order. It's going to get us over to Essex on Friday, the 11th. It's my birthday this week. It's Luke's birthday last week. We'll be celebrating with pizza and crab cakes and crinkle cut French fries and cold cut subs, anything you want. I mean, Pizza John's one of the great, great institutions. They have a heck of a story to tell. We're going to tell that this week as well as my childhood of getting pizzas down there when my uncle Joe had a hair salon at the corner of Eastern and Marlin Avenue. It's not a Royal Farms. Cross street from Royal Farms. It's one of the competitors there, right up the street from my good friends at Blondell Miller Schuller as well. Essex, the homeland. I never admit that, being a Dundalk guy, but my parents were really they when I was a kid, I say I lived in Essex because I thought I did because I thought I was going to Kenwood High School. Don't tell Mike Preston that. Who would want to be in the Kenwood Hall of Fame when you could be in the Dundalk Hall of Fame? I don't know, the Dundalk Essex thing. It's almost like the Baltimore Washington thing. Probably a pretty good week to do that. We'll be doing some Pizza John's in Essex on Friday. Come on by, grab a scratch off in the Maryland lottery, get yourself some delicious pizza. We'll be there all afternoon celebrating birthdays as well as our disdain for all things Washington. I have to educate some of these young kids this week with some of my writings of writings. I am Nestor. He is Luke. We're going to talk defense. Big win for the Ravens, and big offseason coming for the Orioles. We got a lot of things on our minds around here, as well as an election ahead. We're WNST AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore positive.